Going up to Hamilton, we're going to talk with Gail Pittaway, who is our book reviewer today. Kia ora, Gail, how are you?
Kia ora, Susie. Very well, thanks very much.
Good, good. Now, you have been reading How to Solve Your Own Murder by Kristen Perrin. Tell us about
it. Yes. Well, Kristen Perrin, it's her first adult novel. Apparently, she's done a lot of fantasy books for what's called the mid-grade reader, you know, sort of young adult. And many of those have been translated, so they have not been even translated, published in English. So this is her first adult novel, and it's a kind of, it's pure entertainment and escapism, and very lightweight after that last interview, I have to say. But it was a really good little light school holiday read. It does have a very complex plot, and so it's set down in Dorset, and it has two time zones. It's got quite an arresting premise. In the 1960s, three giddy young girls go to a fair in Dorset in this little village of Castle Knoll, and they get their fortunes told. And one of them, Frances, has this rather enigmatic fortune. Your future contains dry bones. Your slow demise begins right when you hold the queen in the palm of one hand. Beware the bird, for it will betray you. And from that, there's no coming back. But daughters are the key to justice. Find the right one and keep her close. All signs point toward your murder. So she is the murder victim of the plot. And it goes from the 1960s to the present day, where Frances has still survived. But within a year of that gypsy fortune, one of her friends has gone missing. And so she's kind of spends the rest of her life being very paranoid and annoying people and assuming all of different clues are those different symbols from that fortune, but manages to marry the Lord of the Manor, the Gravesdown Manor, and she's kept a journal which details this. So the alternating time zone is the 1960s, but and this very lively, chatty, investigative journal that this young woman, Frances, keeps. And then in the present day, her great niece, who's never met her but has, you know, this fabled great aunt, is summoned down to Gravesdown Hall to talk about the possible succession and along with another potential heir. And they are called in to meet the solicitor, turn up at the hall, and lo and behold, Lady Frances is sitting dead in a chair. And the will gets interesting because she says that that the person who will inherit all her estate and all her huge wealth will be the person who solves the mystery of her death. So that's the kind of, it's quite a nice premise. It almost turns itself inside out and upside down with so many characters from the past who then have descendants who appear in the present story. But it's doesn't entirely alternate. It's mostly a present day story, but we get these glimpses of the journal going back as well. So interesting.
With these very many characters, is it hard to keep track of them all?
If I left it a few days in between reads, I would have to sort of just flick back and think, now who's that? There wasn't a cast of characters or anything like that. And it's not that there are too many characters, but it's just hard to keep track of whose descendant they are from the original story. So being a small village, not many people have left, but they have all they've left and come back and they have professions. And some of these kids who were, you know, quite wild in Frances's story, you know, and they would break into the grounds of Gravesdown Hall and smoke marijuana and, you know, drink and have sex and various things. And now they're respectable, you know, lawyers and members of the community. So everyone is a suspect, really. And Anna realises that as she, they were given a week to solve the mystery. That's the other thing. Otherwise, the entire property will be sold to a developer and turned into golf courses or something similar. So luckily, Anna happens to be in between jobs at the moment and is also herself a compulsive journal writer. Mm. So we're able to, you know, keep track of all of the things through her. So as I say, that aspect of it is kind of very contrived. But, you know, it has its charm, and particularly it's, you know, very young. It's about very young people and, you know, not realize their innocence and betrayal, and then someone a little bit older in a later time trying to solve the mystery. So, yeah, it has its definitely has its appeal. Mm. I think that I enjoyed reading it. I enjoyed the style was, you know, light and. But these characters are never in-depth in this kind of book. It really is a kind of cosy mystery. They're sort of slightly cut-out characters. But, yeah, it had its entertaining and diverting appeal to
me. And like you say, a good holiday read.
Yeah, I thought so.
Good stuff. Thank you very much. That is Gail Pittaway reviewing Kristen Perrin's book, How to Solve Your Own Murder. It is published by Hatchet, $37.99.